thank you again for all that good singing. And whenever we can't do anything else, we can pray. And all last week we dealt with the secret place, our closet. And that's a wonderful song. And people think when we get older, we just have to lay down and die. No, no. You can pray. You can pray. Young children can pray. I have a little team of children that prays for me. And you say, oh, Brother Beckham, those kids don't know. Yeah, they know. They know. And they pray. They send me cards and write me. Draws pictures of me and all kinds of stuff, and I guarantee you they pray for me. I have teenagers across the country that prays for me, and I have middle-aged people, I have elderly people in their 90s praying for me, and I believe that's what keeps me going, the prayers of the saints of God. Well, let me call your attention tonight to the book of Ephesians. Did I hear, Sharon, did I hear you say that your nephew, does he have a speech impediment?
He has a cochlear implant.
Oh, okay. Amen. And, I was in a Spanish church in California a few years ago, Dr. Ezequiel Salazar. I don't know if you know of him, but he's one of the leaders in the Spanish world in the fundamental movement. And I was preaching. I've only given my life story one time, and that was July the 10th of this year. But I share just a little bit because for years and years I was ashamed. I was ashamed of it. And I wouldn't mention anything about the speech impediment and the stuttering. But that night, I did. And, I had no idea that Dr. Salazar's grandson, has a problem. And he can't, at that time he couldn't talk or he wouldn't talk in front of people. And so the mother walked up to me crying and said, Brother Beckham, you should give that testimony every church you go to. You should let people know, because there are children in churches across the land that's going to live hard lives because they are ashamed. Well, the little boy looked up at me, and I looked down at him, and I said, can I talk to you, just me and you? He nodded his little head. And so a year went by. I told him some things. And a year went by, and I was there again. And here he comes running to me, and he talked to me. Isn't that wonderful? And and so my heart just goes out for those kind of stories. Whew. All right. You may have to sing another song where I can get my... all right. Ephesians 3:13. We've been dealing with closet prayer, the power of prayer. We've been dealing with different men in the Bible, some lady in the Bible, using the power of prayer in their lives, and this church has really got a hold of prayer and got a hold of living right and recognizing the presence of God. And there's not many of you around, I'm telling you, but I am so glad that this church, I have seen you grow in the last 10 years. And looking forward to seeing you grow another 10 years. I won't be but 92. Amen. And I'm looking forward to that. And so someone asked me in the foyer tonight about that, about my age and different things. Dad always said you're as young as you think you are. And so that's the way I look at it. And my good friend, Dr. Tom Wallace, I don't know if anyone knows who that is, but he's a great preacher, a great man of God. He texted me last year and he said, "Brother Beckham, you're the prayer guy, and I have a prayer request for you." And I said, "Okay, what is it?" He said, "Well, I am 92 right now." And he said, "I'm preaching somewhere almost every night like you." And he drives himself to the meetings at 92, he and his wife. And he said, "This is my prayer request for you. I want you to pray that I can preach on my 100th birthday." So I'm praying for that. And I hope that maybe I could be off that night and go and hear him preach. And you pray that I can, preach on my 100th birthday. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, one of my favorite books of the Bible. And chapter 3 and verse 13, I want to just speak to you for a little while on the subject of the ableness of God. The ableness of God. It goes along with those messages on the power of God. And let's stand for the reading of this verse. Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not," or other words, "do not lose heart, at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Having said this, Paul recorded one of his greatest prayers that he ever prayed. "Father, thank you for today. Thank you for being my father. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you as my father. And Lord, I pray tonight that as I bring this message, that it will seek in, that we will allow it to seek into our hearts and make us better children for you. Help me, Lord, tonight to be very caring and very loving. Help me, Lord, to be sensitive to the needs that's in this room. Some great needs. So, Father, I just give you the service, and I'll try to say the things you would have me to say in the way you would have me to say them. And then, Lord, I'll just hang my hands and get down. I pray for that lost person tonight that may be listening in or maybe sitting before me. And if there is, I know the Holy Spirit, Father, is going to do His part. I know He's going to speak. I know He's going to draw. I know He's going to do that. But Lord, I also know that mankind has a will. And they can say yes or they can say no. But Lord, my prayer is that as He speaks to them, that they will say yes to the greatest invitation in all of the world. Thank you. Love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I see my little note here. Have you talked to the Father today? I hope you have. Number one, look in verse 16 with me. Paul is praying here, and he's praying for the believers, the child of God, those that are saved by the grace of God. And here he is, he's going to be praying for some things to happen in our lives, that we will allow some things to happen in our lives. And in verse 16, the first thing that Paul was wanting for these believers, and also, let me say this, and for us too, This is written to us just like it was written to the people there in this local church. And so in verse 16, chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians, Paul begins his prayer. And he said he would grant you, God, I want you to grant these people, according to the riches of your glory or His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, the same person in the inner man. Now this verse means about the same thing as Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Look at it with me. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In Ephesians 3:16, the wording, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that is not a prayer for physical strength. That's not a prayer for intellectual strength. But it's for the strength of the inner man, the heart of man, the soul of man, the mind of man. And that's where the Apostle Paul is talking about. He is speaking of the hidden man, the hidden man of the heart, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, or the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, and I'll repeat it again. He is speaking of the heart, the mind, and the soul of man. That's what we need to be strong. You can be strong physically, there's nothing wrong with that, or intellectually. But this prayer for these believers and for us tonight is that we will be strong in the inner man. Why, Brother Beckham? Because we bear a lot of trials. We have to resist temptation. We have to carry out His commands. We have to live by faith, and we can't do those things within our own physical strength. We have to have that inner man strength to do those things. And the source of this strength is whom? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. And please don't be afraid of those, of the doctrine of pneumatology, because it's a biblical doctrine. It's one that we don't have to be ashamed of. People will tell me sometimes, Brother Beckham, are you leaning towards the Pentecostal movement? Because you talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. You talk a lot about the Holy Ghost. You talk about sanctification. You talk about holiness, living holy lives. And those things are Pentecostal doctrines. Well, they don't know much about their Bible, do they? And if you think that, you don't know your Bible very well. Because it is, those are Bible teachings. And that's the reason why I deal with them. Because we cannot be a house of prayer without them. And I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about this temple that the Holy Ghost lives in. Amen? And so, when I think about the Holy Spirit, I think about the fountain of spiritual energy. He gives me energy every day. As I get older, I need Him more and more. And you do too. See, the Spirit strengthens the believer by leading him to the fullness of grace in Christ. Oh my. If you have never heard a teaching on the grace of God, growing in the grace of God, You need to look that up in your Bible. You need to look at all the verses talking about growing in the grace of God. The Holy Spirit, by the way, helps you to do that. And He also, when He is working in your life and He's strengthening your life, He also helps you to be able to love like Christ loved us. A lot of people doesn't love like they should because they don't know the Holy Ghost like they should. And they're not allowing Him to work in their life. And then the Holy Ghost also applies the promises of Christ to our lives. Oh my, at Tennessee Temple back in 1970, a Old Testament teacher stood in front of a bunch of us 20-year-old preachers, and they said, there are 35,000 promises in the Bible. Make sure you claim the promises of God. And from that very day, I claimed all 35,000. And I know dispensations and all that, but I just claimed them all. Amen. And that's just Brother Beckham. And you can do that if you want to. And then I want you to look at Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. We are to make the scripture our source of this strength. Listen to Nehemiah. Boy, listen, neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Look in Galatians chapter 5 with me, and we'll get into the message. But I'll go back to Nehemiah just for a moment. Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. Neither be sorry, don't be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is His strength. And you know, that's where I get my strength from day to day. It's been tough. It's been, especially the last 3 years, it's been tough. And but you know, the strength of the Lord. Someone said, Brother Beckham, you act happy. I am happy. And I'm not just happy. You remember the message I preached here maybe the first year I was with you? I preached a message out of Psalms 1 about not just being happy. The Bible doesn't say just be happy and be joyful. The Bible teaches that we are to be happy, happy, happy. Amen. And so I hope you're happy, happy, happy. I hope you're not just sitting there and just happy, you know. Amen. I hope you're happy, happy. All right. Enough of that. Look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and down to 23. We have dealt with this. We dealt with it some last week about being in the closet, how you grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And I'll say this because I see a lot of faces here that I haven't seen yet. And I want to bring you up to the same page. A lot of people think that the fruit of the Spirit is 9 different fruits, but that's not the case. It's one fruit, and there's 9 parts of that one fruit. And we're going to we dealt with it a little bit about learning to have those fruits in our lives in our prayer closet. But tonight I'm going to deal with them in a little different way. The fruit of the Spirit, the first one is love. When we become regenerate, the seed of divine love is planted in our hearts. And the Apostle Paul expresses it thus in Romans 5 and verse 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. So when our Lord commanded His disciples that you love one another in John 13:34, He was not asking them to merely show human love or friendly love or puppy love or that kind of stuff. But our Lord was talking about loving with the Holy Ghost love, loving with the agape love. What is agape love? That's God's love. And we are to love as God loves us. And that will change your life because I hear believing people, believers, I'm not going to call them Christians. They are believers. They say they are saved. They say they go into heaven when they die. And that's good. But I have heard so many say, I don't like that person. I hate that person. You better be careful with hating people, because 1 John, you can't hate the brethren and be and have eternal life at the same time. You can't do it. And there's a lot of people in churches trying to be Christ-like, but they hate one another. They dislike one another. They argue with one another. They fight with one another. They do all this stuff. And folks, that's not the Christian life. That's not what Christ is talking about here. This is not what Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about being strengthened with this fruit here. And he says, if you love as Christ loves you, and you forgive as Christ forgives you, then you're going to grow. You're going to grow in the grace of God. You're going to grow as a believer. You're going to be sweet. You're going to be calm. Amen. And you're going to get along with people. Hello. And see, you can't have a prayer life without having this fruit, this part of this fruit, active in your life. There is no way you can. I see hundreds and thousands of people in a year's time trying to do it without love, and it burdens my heart. I lay awake many nights thinking about the faces I see when I'm preaching, and I see sometimes people being this stone cold, and I'm thinking, oh, Holy Spirit, Feel that person, renew this love in their heart so that they can have this relationship with you that I'm talking about and been talking about for 21 years now. And then, so let me ask you, preaching without what application is useless, okay? I've taught that at West Coast. I've taught it all over the country in these colleges. And boys, preach the word. You're doing a good job preaching, but you're just not applying nothing. You must be afraid of the faces of the people. Don't be afraid of the people. Apply it to them. Ask them if they are doing it. So let me ask you, do you have the love of Christ in your heart? Are you loving people like Christ loves people? You say, no, preacher. Well, why are you sitting in the pew? Why aren't you at the altar? Why aren't you asking God to help you? Why? Well, that is just the way Minnesota people does it. Well, I'm not talking about Minnesota people. I'm talking about Christian people. I'm talking about people that claims to love Christ. Amen? And so I hope that you have this love in you. If you don't, oh my, renew it tonight. Renew it tonight. Walk out this door not like you walked in. Walk out victorious. Amen. And love. Look at the second one, joy. John 15, verse 11. John, verse 15, verse 11. Perfect. Preacher's wife. She got my water for me tonight, so I was telling her it was perfect. John 15, verse 11. Look at it. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you. Jesus is talking here, that my joy of Christ, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Elsewhere in the Bible commands us to rejoice evermore in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. And again, let me quote Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And notice it is His joy. So let's go back to John 15 and verse 11. These things have I spoken to you. Jesus is trying to speak to us right now. He's using my mouth, just like He used the ladies, used their mouths tonight to help us to rejoice in song. Now we are to rejoice in Christ. We are to rejoice in the joy of Christ. He said, now, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. And then I'll repeat it again. Paul says, I want you to rejoice evermore. I want you to be a person not to just rejoice when things are going well. I want you to learn to rejoice when things are tough, when things are hard, when the storm is raging, when the lightning is very sharp in the skies, thunder is very loud, things look hopeless. We need to learn to have joy in our heart during those times. Because, see, the devil sends it to us to hinder us, to knock the feet out from under us. But Christ sends it to us to help us to get through those things. Do you understand? And so the Apostle Paul was not without sorrow. Some people say, well, if I could be like the Apostle Paul, then I could do this. Well, listen to what Paul says. Look in 2 Corinthians 7 in verse 4. He wasn't without sorrow. He wasn't without affliction. He had his trials and tribulations. And by the way, I don't think you would want to be the Apostle Paul. Not unless you're going to live like the Apostle Paul. Now, listen to this verse. Paul says, I am exceedingly joyful. He's exceedingly joyful in what? In our tribulations. And then 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10, and I'll give you time to turn there. 2 Corinthians 10, look at this verse. He also said this, as sorrowful, yet once in a while, if I feel like it, I rejoice. That's not what he says. He says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And church, we too should be able to say, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And I am not speaking here of happiness, for happiness depends upon happenings, but rather the joy of the Holy Ghost. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 5, verse 11. I don't know what you're facing. I don't need to know what you're facing. Christ knows what you're facing because He's sending it to you. He's allowing it to happen. And Romans 8, verse 28 kicks in there. All things work for the good to them that, what? Loves the Lord. It doesn't work for everybody. If you don't love the Lord, it's not going to work out for your good. You have to love the Lord, that first fruit, that first part. You have to have that in your heart. And then you have to have this joy there also at in your heart. But look in Psalms 5 in verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in Thee do what? What does it say? Rejoice. Rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. Now, if you're not joyful tonight, you're not living a biblical life for Christ. You're not where you should be. This is a command. This is God saying, Benny Beckham, you are always to be rejoicing. I have your life in the palms of my hands. You are engraved in the palms of my hands. Why are you not rejoicing? And then I'll ask you that. Why aren't you rejoicing? Because the Bible, listen to this verse, just popped in my mind. Listen to it. This might be the reason why you're not victorious. Now listen. If you know to do good, this is good, right? Rejoicing is good, right? Loving is good, right? It's okay. All right. And so, if you know to do good, James 4:17, I think it is, if you know to do good, church, and doeth it not, it is sin. And God cannot bless you. God is not going to bless you if you have sin in your life, unconfessed sin. Oh my, I know we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about habitually sinning, knowing that you're going against the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about. And if you're in that place tonight, would you jump out of it, confess it to God, and say, God, I am sorry. I have treated you this way, but from this night on, I am going to love as you love, and I'm going to have this joy that you have. I'm going to have it in my heart. Can I read this verse to you one more time? Because I see that you're really enjoying it. Psalms 5, verse 11. But let all those... can I do this? Can I ask a question? You shouldn't be ashamed if you're saved, right? Can I ask you a question? If you are saved by the grace of God and you are in the family of God, would you let it be known by lifting up the hand? You're not ashamed of it. Amen. Okay. 99% of you are saved. You're in the family of God. And that's good. Now, since you are really saved, listen, the Bible says, let all those that put their trust in Him are, you are saved by the grace of God. The Bible says that you are to rejoice. And then it doesn't just say that you are to rejoice, but it says that you should shout for joy. That is not just a Southern thing. Amen. Amen. This is not a Southern book. This is not just written to the Southern people. You said you would guard over me. Amen. Stepping out on some dangerous grounds here. But, right? This is also for you. And it says to you, Minnesota people, that you, if you are saved, you ought to be rejoicing. And shout for joy. And then it says, why? Because He defendeth us. He fights for us. He helps us. He comforts us. And then it says, let them also love Thy name, be joyful. So if you're going to go around telling people that you are saved and you're in the family of Christ and all this stuff, make sure you're doing this. Amen. I love you. Okay. And then I want you to look at the peace of God. The first three virtues are somehow linked together in a particular way. Love is the foundation of our Christian faith. Look with me again at Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and verse 14. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty, we better listen, for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So where there is love in the heart, joy is sure to follow, and that will bring peace to your life. Amen. And if you're here tonight and you don't have that in that way, talk it over with the Father. Look at John 14:27. If you'll smile at me, I'll be done in a little bit. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. Look in John 16:33. Jesus said, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Wow. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Don't let your heart be troubled. These are the words of our Savior. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm not trying to be religious. I'm just trying my best to be biblical. Amen? That's what we need. That's what we need in our lives today. So church, listen to me. Since the Holy Spirit's coming at Pentecost, every believing sinner is assured of the peace of Christ. The Son of God is the Prince of Peace, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 9:6. And coming to earth, He brought heaven's peace with Him, Luke 2:14, and made it available to us through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1, Galatians 1:20. So if all that is true, and it is, why worry? Why should we be worrying believers? Why? It is because we live in the energy of the flesh and we don't live in the energy of the Holy Spirit. Hello? You understand that? Yes. Look in Colossians 3:15, one of my favorite verses. It says, and let, that's your responsibility, and let. If you don't have the peace of God, it's not the pastor's fault. If you don't have the peace of God in your heart, it's not your spouse's fault. It's not your children's fault. It's not the members of the church's fault. It's not your employer's fault. If you're not experiencing the peace of God in your heart tonight, let me tell you what's going on. It's your fault. And I say that as with a smile on my face and love in my heart, and I say it as lovingly as I know how to say it. But if Benny Beckham doesn't have peace in my heart, it's not your fault. It's my fault. I have to look in the mirror and whether it's a visible mirror or the mirror of God's Word, and I have to look in those two places and I have to say, you're the problem. And if I will hear the man in the mirror and follow his voice, I might get some help. Because the man in the mirror is going to say the same thing I'm saying. You're the problem. And then I read the book at verses like, if you know to do good, Benny, and you're not doing them, you're in sin. How can you have peace and sin in your life at the same time? You can't. Hello? You okay? Need some water? I'd be glad to share it with you. But the Bible says, but let the peace of God rule in your hearts. There's three different kinds. There's the justification faith. You get that when you repent of your sins. Don't let that word scare you. When you repent of your sins and turn from your sin and then become a new creature in Christ. Because you have repented of your sin. And then because of all of that, then you have that perfect peace come into your heart. Then you have that great peace come into your heart. How do you get those? Keep your mind on the Word of God. Amen. Keep your mind in the Bible. And so, let me ask you again. Are you worrying? Are you angry? Do you have wrath in your heart? Do you have all these things? If you do, that's a good sign that the peace is not ruling in your life. And if the peace of God is not ruling in your life, then that means you're not right with God. Well, what do, Brother Beckham? Get right. You just get right. That's why we have prayer revivals, and that's why we have special meetings in our churches across the land. We just get right. We just start doing what the book says. Pray without ceasing. Pray everywhere. Keep our minds stayed on Him. Love His Word. All those are commands of the Bible. That's what we are to do. To be happy. To be able to love like Christ loves. And then look at the word long-suffering. I thought we might just stop here and take up tomorrow night with long-suffering, because it's got quite a bit to say about long-suffering. Gentleness, we'll deal with that maybe tomorrow night. How about goodness? See, all these things are characteristics of the Holy Ghost. And I don't think I can do justice by preaching those right now, because I have fed you, I have spoon-fed you some pretty tough stuff. It's hard to swallow sometimes. So I'm going to stop right here and pick up here tomorrow night. That's if we're here. What does that mean, Brother Ben? You going to leave tonight? No, but I might leave out of here tonight. I don't know when the rapture is going to take place. All these prophecy preachers talking about all this stuff. They must be smart dudes, I'm telling you, because the angels of heaven don't even know. And Dr. Bottlestopper is saying, you know, that he's coming. I'm thinking, guys, come on. You're smarter than the angels, smarter. But we may not be here tomorrow night. Jesus could come. Death could come. I have so many friends that went to be with the Lord last year. I think it was Brother Stenick Ballou, I think it was, that went to the doctor for a checkup. He wasn't even sick. And God took him home. One of the greatest preachers around. And God just took him home. I could tell you others in my family and friends just got sick and died quick. Many of them with COVID just got sick, died. So you never know. But let me ask you this. Would you like to die tonight? Think about it. John said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." That's the way he walked around. He walked around. Oh, hey, are you coming today? Even so, come. If we did that, they would lock us up in the loony bin. Wouldn't they? Yeah. So you have to be careful. But you said, preacher, during your preaching, the Holy Spirit showed me that I need this Christ that you've been talking about. I don't know Him. I don't know. I've never met Him. I've been in church all my life. I read the Bible sometimes. But preacher, during your preaching, I feel something. It's not something. It's somebody. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. And if that's happening to you tonight, right now, pastor's going to be up here in a few minutes. The ladies are going to sing a song for us. And I'm going to give the invitation, give you an opportunity to come up front. Which you don't have to come up here. Someone asked me not long ago, preacher, I didn't walk down the aisle tonight because I was afraid. Would it have been okay to just lift my hand and and for pastor or you or someone come back and talk to me in the pew. Hey, if that's what it takes to get you into the family of God, I'll leave this platform. I know pastor would leave the front, come back to you, take a Bible, show you how to be saved. Amen. It's about getting right with the Lord. But I've been watching a few of you, and whether it's salvation or whether it's something else in your life, please don't leave with it as a burden. Give that burden to the Lord. Let Him take care of it. Please, would you do that? I love you. And He loves you, and He wants to help you. And again, I'm not trying to be spiritual. I'm not trying to be a super-duper religious person. I know me. And but when I tell you I love you, and when I tell you that He loves you, that's the truth. You don't have to leave with carrying all your burdens. You can give them to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I pray again that lost person will